Hey, this is Miss Melissa, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you are listening to Tales from the Tub. It's the Dog Days of Podcasting, and this is my entry for August 21st, 2015. I am here with Chuck Tomasi, who I know from everywhere, but he's going to introduce himself to everyone for me.
Everywhere? Where am I everywhere?
You're everywhere.
Oh, that's good to know. I wish everybody knew that. So is that like you can please some of the people some of the time?
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
I'm everywhere, but nobody knows it. My introduction, I think my Gmail signature says it the best. I'm a father, husband, IT professional, podcaster, martial artist, and I don't know if it's in there or not, but general nerd should be if it's not already. So where you want to take this discussion?
Wherever you want to go.
Okay.
Let's start with what's a typical day for you.
Oh, my goodness. I work from home, which is a mixed blessing. Everybody thinks, oh, it'd be so nice to work from home until you actually try it. It was thrust upon me when I was laid off of my old job and got a new job where I had that capability. So it's a different discipline. The refrigerator is not your friend when you work at home.
No, it isn't.
However, there are times when it's nice to sit down and focus and turn off all the chats and emails and things and get work done, not worrying about people walking up and distracting you. On the flip side, you can get a little social starved working from home, even though my wife is here all day as well. I find myself talking to strangers in the grocery store about random topics. So that can always lead to some interesting situations. And then once in a while, they send me back to the mothership in San Diego, where I get to feel like I'm part of an office and dress that way and act that way and have a badge and everything. So I don't, maybe I should put badge readers on my doors in the house. That would be kind of nerdy. But my day job usually consists of creating content for our professional services organization. I work for a cloud software provider. We have people that go out there and sell the subscriptions and whatnot, and we get money for that. And then we have another army of people who do the implementations, the engagements, and manage the projects and gather requirements, and the technical consultants who put their hands on keyboards. And I'm largely focused on the technical consultants because that's my background is, you know, I do the programs and technically stuff. And I do lots of time on PowerPoint, Word documents, creating videos and audio and knowledge base articles. I even get my hands into the technical stuff once in a while if I have a pet project like the one I'm writing right now to aggregate a bunch of information together so that we can track who is actually taking tests and things.
Oh, that would be useful.
Yeah. Last year it was make the application to administer the tests. See how this kind of builds on itself? It works out really well. And then the tactical day-to-day operational stuff like creating virtual machines for people to do hands-on experiments and assessments and all this kind of stuff. So it's not very glamorous. I guess you could think it is if you know you wanted to. It's like, wow, Chuck gets to make videos. Today was a little special because I got to do a live work podcast kind of thing with Craig Stepp. And we did... We talked about nonsense, and there were two screw-ups with that. One is Craig's audio sounded like he was inside of a plastic bag, and it was crackling every time he talked. So we're going to redo it again tomorrow if time works out. The other screw-up was I started at the wrong time. It was supposed to be this live event at 10 a.m. Pacific. Well, our coordinator scheduled 30 minutes ahead of time to get ready and everything, and I am cracking the whip on Craig. On IM going, Craig, we got to get started. Hang on, I got another customer call. Craig, we're 5 minutes from airtime. Well, at 30 minutes past the hour, I went live. I said, we're on the air. We were done before most people joined.
It happens to all of us.
Yeah, and it's the first time for everything, and that was an interesting one.
I will confess, I watched the video that you posted.
Pretty nerdy, huh?
A little bit, but you know, my husband is in the security, is like head of internet security for a tier one internet company.
Yep.
So I get the nerdy stuff. I don't always understand what he does, but I parse enough of it that I can fake it.
That's the kind of stuff that leads into your next question, if my questions are in the same order as yours, or what sets your soul on fire.
It does, so how about telling me?
Okay. I like two things. One is, of course, seeing my daughters happy. Nothing makes me smile more than seeing them smile or laugh or play.
Oh, that's so sweet.
It means my wife and I did something right. So that's a good feeling. The second is, on the professional level, creating something new and innovative in a way that others find useful, and then turning around and sharing that learned knowledge with others, which is kind of why I do what I do. I do something technical like what you saw in the video today. Hey, look at this processor that I did to make a podcast feed out of our software platform. And then sharing that with others, going, this is how you can take advantage of that same thing. And apparently it's working because I still have a job.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Especially in today's market where everything is a program.
Yep. And if it happens to go viral and I get lucky that way, that would be nice too, but it hasn't quite happened yet.
Well, here's hoping. You and Craig both have such easy personalities to listen to that I think that helps a lot.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad you said that. Just, that's a positive reinforcement for us to keep doing it.
Oh, please do. Because even people who have no idea what you're doing, like me, I still really enjoy watching you.
Craig is actually the second co-host of that series that we did. We've been doing that one for about 2.5 years. I started out with a coworker of mine. We were on the same team for a number of months, years, whatever it was. And Andrew and I, and we meshed just like Craig and I meshed. It was technical nerddom. Unfortunately, Andrew went to another team, and Craig came on board. So people, they look at Craig and me going, how did you just like slide right into this? Well, Craig and I have been doing this for 10 years, so it's nothing new. And it's a fun way to take your hobby and give value to it at work. And I've said this before. I don't know if I mentioned it on my podcast, but I feel like I kind of cheated the whole podcast community by, in the early days, it was, oh, you know, fame and fortune and we can get rich. But if you wanted that, you had to apply yourself and be your own marketing director and be your own salesperson to go out and sell advertising space or join a network that would help do that for you. And our podcast never really took off to a wide audience of like 5 or more digits of listeners. We'll modest audiences and very loyal fans, very loyal listeners, very, very forthright and however you want to say that. I appreciate them greatly because, as Craig likes to say, without the listener, it wouldn't be much of a podcast. It'd just be Craig and Chuck talking to each other. But
which could be interesting on its own. But
yeah, that happens all the time, and unfortunately, we don't record it. But where was I going? Oh, I was cheating the system because I brought this to work and I said, hey, you know, I could help make videos and things, and started doing this internally. And somebody asked if we could do it externally. And that's when I hooked up I went, well, Gene, we do this every Sunday night. Why don't we just use Google Hangouts instead of this other application? Then we'll already have a video and et cetera, et cetera. And they seemed to like it. And before I knew it, the way our company's been growing and shaping and morphing over the last 5 years, growing 20-fold in employees and everything else, I'd have to explain myself to somebody about every few months. Hey, what's this tech now thing? And it's really hard when you're leading in the show, especially now that I talked to Craig, to say tech now instead of Technorama.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The hardest part of the whole show, really. But I got somebody from marketing about 1.5 years ago say, what is this? We're not sure you want to be using now on the end of everything because that's kind of our corporate brand. And I explained to it, and I said, here's the value and what I'm doing for you and the inserting the ad and whatnot. And they said, oh, how can we help? Wait a minute. I just got a corporate marketing department behind my pet project. I think I've done it.
So you have.
It was fun that way.
You can tell when you're in your corporate stuff and in your personal, your Chuck Chat, you can tell that you're totally delighted by the process.
This is fun. Let's have fun with it.
If it isn't fun, it's not worth doing.
And I'm trying to hand off the content and production to Craig. We're in a state of transition, but we kind of came up against this deadline. They said, "What the community team is the one that are tweeting and backing us up and doing everything nice for us, taking care of all the busy work. All I got to do is put together PowerPoints." And I found myself, was it last week, week before, whatever it was, last week, putting together the slide deck. Hey, you know, I kind of miss this. This is a little fun. I know I'm not supposed to be doing it, and maybe that's why it's fun, kind of like reading a dirty magazine, but it's – I like I did miss it because we haven't been doing it as often as we used to monthly. It's turned into more like a 4-month thing, but we'll see where it goes.
Cool. So if there's a person in your life other than Craig,
yeah.
a particular influence on you, who are they?
Oh, that is a tough one because there are several.
And yes, going out of order.
Of course, there are my parents who've had a huge impact in my formative years. My wife, whom I've known for almost 30 years, has definitely had an impact on me every day. Everything from those comments like, you're not going to wear that, are you? Hey, it's an influence. I learned something. What not to wear.
That doesn't sound like my relationship with my husband at all.
At all. And then there are the teachers, both academic and extracurricular. Specifically, the extracurriculars would be like the people I had at the karate and jiu-jitsu school when I was in Wisconsin. Wonderful, wonderful people, led primarily by Jeff Deneau and Kent Mikeley, who was a coworker of mine at my last job for a period of time. Ben O'Haver. These people have had such an impact on not just me, but my family, because my daughter was in karate at the same time, too. I could go into a whole nother long story about how we tripped into that and the value that I've gotten over the last 8 years. And, of course, some very close friends. But it is so hard to pick just one. We are shaped by our experiences and those around us. And I've been very blessed to have some wonderful people around me, from childhood friends that I still keep in touch with to new friends that we're making all the time. These people influence you, and you can immediately tell who's in sync and who's not.
Oh, definitely.
And it's not always best to gravitate to the people that are just like you. I learned early on and as an age, if you want to make friends quickly, be like those people as much as possible, or communicate like them, show a level of interest in what they're interested in. But sometimes it's nice to talk to somebody who's got the opposing side of you, to expand your horizons and open your mind and all that stuff. So we get a little wiser as we get a little older, I guess.
I think sometimes some of the most rewarding relationships can be with the people who challenge you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those teachers that you didn't really like, but then when you look at them in retrospect, you go, wow, they challenged me. I didn't like it at the time, but without that, I wouldn't be where I am.
It's sort of like that moment where you find yourself echoing your parents' words.
Don't make me come back there?
That's when. I mean, in our house, since we only have dogs and no human children, it's more like, don't eat your brother, things you never thought you'd say.
Yeah, I can't say I heard that come out of my parents' mouth ever.
Maybe don't hit, but probably not don't eat. If you could solve one of the world's problems, no matter how big or how small, what would it be?
Now, if we had had our original interview when it was originally scheduled, I would have been the first to give this answer. But unfortunately, I've heard you talk to a few people that...
And there's a trend.
Yes, there is a trend. And I think universal language is one of them. I would love to see the world speak one language. And from what I read in the news today, that's not far off. Google is working on a universal translator that's getting pretty darn close. I think it was, maybe it wasn't Google, maybe it was a Samsung Active Watch, whatever it was, that can do that. Because I know there are cultural and political issues with attempting that. Nobody wants to give up their own language. But if we had a translator of some type, that would let you keep your culture, keep your language, keep your heritage, and still be able to bridge that gap. But imagine if everyone could understand what everyone else is saying. Just walk up to them. I have problems with that right now. I took 3 years of Spanish, but yet I can't understand more than about 2 words out of every 10 sentences that the hired hands come who installed my new travertine patio stuff a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what they're saying. One guy couldn't speak a lick of English. And, I tried to help, and I said, hey, ¿cómo estás? And he says, bien, muy bien. I said... And I said something like, this is lovely, or this is bonita, whatever it was. And he says, ¿habla español? I said, no bueno. he immediately got the idea that I was a poser. So just having that conversation, congratulating. I would have loved to have thanked him for his hard work, the beautiful work they've done. I did, but I had to go through the foreman or the salesman or whatever it was. But just to have that direct appreciation would have been so much better and so much more impactful to that guy, knowing that what he did made a difference. And I wouldn't pick English as a default language. If we had to go with the universal language, I would not pick English. It is a terrible language because it's a mutt language made up of a whole bunch of other stuff.
It absolutely is. It's one of the hardest languages to learn.
Yeah.
You can't spell it.
No. The verbs change all over the place. I mean, just think about, the verb to have. Well, you've also got words like got. Like, what? That's like some Gaelic Swedish thing, and it just doesn't line up anywhere.
Right, and then we have this funky, like, conditional tenses, like first-person prepositional, and it's just weird.
Oh, other languages have that when you're conjugating the verbs.
Well, no,
future imperfect,
They're more organic, I guess.
Yeah, well, they seem to have
I think Spanish would be a good choice because you pronounce every letter.
Every letter has one sound, but some letters have the same sound as others, so it doesn't...
Well, right, but I mean, like, French has all those extra letters at the end of words.
That nobody says. Yeah, I think we
can... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Nicolet. No, wait, there's a T on the end of that.
Yes, a couple, and maybe an S that you're never going to use.
And now we've truly offended the French people.
Well, actually, no, as long as when we speak French, we pronounce it properly, they're pretty much cool.
Oh, well, I kind of try, but we'll see what happens.
I actually got complimented on a French accent in France once.
Wow.
And I don't speak French.
I out-Spanished a guy from the Dominican Republic one time.
Really? Yeah. That's impressive.
We had this application at work when I ran the service desk, and we wanted to get more of our call agents translated. So we bought this knockoff version of Rosetta Stone, and it said, pronounce the following sentence. And we passed the microphone around to see where everybody went. And there was this little... kind of like a speedometer thing, a little gauge that said you're a tourist or you're a native, and somewhere in between there. And I pronounced it and went pegged over to native. I pass it to Enzo Diomeda, and he gets tourist.
That's too funny.
Rock on there, Enzo. You keep at it. You'll get it someday. You've been in Wisconsin too long.
So other than learning to communicate,
yes,
what's a piece of wisdom or advice that you've even given or received that you think should be shared?
This would have to be the platinum rule when I learned about it. Everybody's familiar with the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's crap. Because don't do unto others as you want them to do unto you, because that's not necessarily what they want. Do unto others as they would have done unto them. So find out.
I like that.
Learn what people want. Learn what motivates them, because I may get all excited at work if somebody says, hey, we're going to have a recognition and announce it on the monthly call that Chuck did this awesome thing. If I were to do that to somebody else who doesn't like that level of recognition, they just want to work quietly off in the corner, and every once in a while get a, hey, from their boss, thanks a lot. Your work means a lot. That may be what drives them insane internally, but if they were to get that hip, hip, hooray kind of thing, they would cringe. That's not their thing. So you have to learn what motivates people and communicate in their style and all that good stuff. Learn what their personality is and then feed to that and recognize them that way. And make sense? The platinum rule.
It makes total sense. Have you done any improv? Because that's a very improvisational attitude.
No, I've just had a lot of...
marketing experience.
A lot of podcasts along the way. I either listen to podcasts for one of two reasons, entertainment or education. That was clearly in the educational one.
Oh, definitely. So we've talked about communication, and we've talked about advice. Everyone has bad days or bad moods. When you have one, although you usually sound like you're delighted to do what you're doing, how do you handle the bad news?
Oh, we all have our down days, the stressful moments where things go wrong. And you couldn't. How about yesterday? I'm flossing my teeth and my crown pops off. There's a good start.
Thanks so much for sharing the picture, by the way. That was cool.
There's a tooth on the counter. And we're getting oral surgery later. How could that be a bad day? Well, if you listen to today's podcast, it was uncontrolled bleeding all afternoon.
Oh, Oh, dear.
How do you get out of that? I stop and take pause. I try actively to put myself in a positive frame of mind. Traveling, if I'm tired and I'm hungry, I watch out. It's a bad recipe, and my wife will tell you this. She knows when I'm tired because I start to get short-tempered. She knows when I'm hungry. Same kind of thing. My mood starts to shift. You know that Snickers commercial where, you know, the Rosie O'Donnell is on the football field or whatever and just being real irritating? That's kind of how I am. I try not to let that get to me. I was traveling, what was it, a week ago, last week, whenever, recently, flying back from San Diego to Phoenix, and I was tired hauling my stuff along, and people were bumping into me, and I went, okay, it's only irritating if you let it irritate you, which is a hard decision to make when you're in that moment, but you do have a choice. And I said, wait, stop, think about it. And I started looking at the faces of people as they came on the plane, and I played that game where you think, what is this person's story? In just a fraction of a second as they walk by. Okay, here's the lady in the orange shirt. Where is she going? Who does she know? Why was she here? And then the next person comes by. And it takes your mind off of this situation sucks. That's one way. There's another way if that doesn't work is I count my blessings. It sounds simple and basic. But it's like, I have two beautiful, wonderful daughters. Picture them smiling. Picture them laughing, getting along together. They've always gotten along together very well. Feel very blessed to have that rather than, you know, cats and dogs fighting together and arguing over boyfriends and clothes and things. Never happened. Like, how life isn't so bad. It's actually pretty good for me right now. And if I stop and get my mind into that frame, the other stuff kind of takes care of itself. What was I upset about? Because that really isn't a major problem. I know, I think it was you or Nutty that was talking about the when you say first world problems, it's sort of somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And how it sort of demeans the situation and takes away from the impact. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Everybody's entitled to be stressed out. Everybody's entitled to be grouchy. How you internalize that as well as externalize it, it matters. People perceive you that way, and we judge others by their behaviors. However, we judge ourselves by our intent.
Definitely.
That's the wrong, you know, I don't want to be perceived in that way as a grouchy old ogre in that moment, because you never know what you're going to do to shoot yourself in the foot one of these days. You know, somebody cuts you off in traffic and you honk and flip them the bird. Oh, by the way, that's the guy you're interviewing with in 20 minutes. You know, don't do that to yourself. It's never worth it, either short term or long term. But I try to shake it off with one of those two ideas is think about how truly blessed I am and that whatever I'm dealing with isn't that bad. It'll resolve itself. Sleep on it. Feel better in the morning. Whatever you got to do, it's not going to last.
In your Dog Days podcast this summer, you have been doing movie and TV reviews and things like that as part of what you're doing. So what I want to know is, aside from something that you're reviewing, what's a book or movie or album or song that is particularly meaningful that sticks with you?
Oh, I was thinking this one over, and until you got to the song thing, I didn't have an answer. But it's definitely one song for me and my wife. This is where I got to get mushy on you again. It's Always by Atlantic Star, and that is our song. And I'll tell you the story real quick. We were on our first date in 1987, the first official date. We had gone to lunches and things, you know, but we actually had a date. We went to see a tribute band to the Beatles, and we went to the Lakeshore parking and flipped on the radio, and it was the first time either of us had ever heard that song. Okay, you know, that's interesting. I music resonates with me, no pun intended. But I always have like one ear on the speaker as I'm going through the grocery store and going, oh, have I heard that before? Is it on my Pandora list? And that kind of thing. So don't talk to me if there's music around. I'm only half listening to you. fast forward from April to December. We've been dating a while. Relationship is getting more in a serious position. I was proposing to my wife. We went out to dinner. We went parking in that same exact spot. Turn on the radio as soon as she said yes, thank goodness, and there's the song again. So that was the song. There was no doubt about it that Always by Atlantic Star was our song.
Did you plan it for that
night? No, it was random on the radio.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's really fantastic. That's a great story.
Thank you. It's all true.
That's the best.
I think it was our 9th anniversary or something. I just got a Mac and I was doing iMovie for the first time. And I took some of the video clips from various pictures and things of the kids and us and going on vacation. And I think I even threw in some wedding clips and things. And I closed it with that song. And she was in tears. Like, yeah.
Oh, I bet. Just,
like, maybe it was the 14th anniversary. I forgot when it was. Time's going by too fast.
I hear you. If you could have dinner with just one historical figure, celebrity, or fictional character, who would you choose?
I got to find the answer. What number was this?
6.
6.
I told you I wasn't going to go in order.
This is a hard one. I do not have a definite answer on this one, but I do have sort of a category. I don't want somebody who's too smart like Einstein. As cool as that would be and as much as you could learn, I'd feel like a moron. Because I don't have any.
It would be a little intimidating at dinner.
It would. And the same goes true, not just for scholars, but people who are really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
God bless them. Yeah, I don't know if I can relate to them on that level. I would try to steer the conversation to something else a little more humanistic. You know, so, Albert, where do you get your clothes?
Have you heard of a hairbrush?
I would not want to have, as fun as it would be to have dinner with Robin Williams, again, I'd feel like a fool. He's really good at what he does, and I understand he does this stuff in public all the time, or used to. But that would, again, it'd be too intimidating. I feel like I'm out of my element, and some people feel like they don't want to give a performance around the public, and other people are like that all the time. So if they're on all the time, I don't know if I'd want to be around them. I tend to lean towards like innovators and the thinkers and the doers. So it would be somebody humble yet smart, somebody could laugh with and learn from each other, not just a one-way thing. I don't know if that would be Abraham Lincoln or Ben Franklin or Leonardo da Vinci. That's just kind of where I'd go. But again, I don't know. You know, it'd be easy to say, Jesus. First of all, let's talk to the man. See what say. Did he really say the things that he did say? And
clear some stuff up for us.
Yeah. And spoiler alert. Oh, but he already knew that.
I'm going to ask you about 2 more things.
Okay.
The first one is there a charity or cause you feel strongly about?
Oh, can I save this to the end?
You can, but the only other question is for you to tell me where you can be found in the net and the media.
Oh, is that the last part? Well, so if this is the last official question, then I will go off on this because I was hoping it was at the end. I hate to say it, but no, not really. I don't have a charity or anything that I truly believe in and contribute to. I deal with things as they come up, and I've become a bit jaded over the years about the fact that organizations are only getting pennies on the dollar because of the overhead costs. You think about the Girl Scouts who have to sell their cookies door to door, or the parents who bring them, or bring in the sign-up sheets to work. The cookies are a token for the donation. Let's admit it. You're not buying cookies. You're just getting your...
No, it's like the pledge gifts from PBS. Yeah.
And let's... my wife and I say, let's just cut out the middleman and the overpriced cookies and spare the girls the traumatization and potentially dangerous experience of asking strangers to buy the cookies and just hand them $5 that goes straight to the organization. You know, let's forget the stuff in the middle. I'd rather walk right into their office and give them a check and cut out all this middle BS, whether it's clean water in Africa or whatever. They have a crowdsourcing campaign going on. I've got a friend with a daughter with a rare condition. She can't feel pain. She has.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's very rare, and she can't. And she's hurt herself along the way. But recently, she broke her back.
Oh, ow!
And didn't know it. She's like, "Mom,
not ow."
A little feeling kind of funny. Well, she's had to have multiple surgeries. Well, they started a crowdsourcing campaign, but my wife and I said, why don't we just cut Steve and Trish a check and it'll go right to them instead of, you know, whatever the GoFundMe thing is, because they're going to take a cut of that. And it was a small percentage, but for the amount we were looking to give, it added up. I was like, I'd rather have them get the whole thing. So we're going to do that. And I know this is a little bit dark, but people who really need the help don't seem to be the ones who are really benefiting from the donations entirely. So,
I don't think it's dark at all. I think it's refreshingly honest. One of my things is that I don't like to give to large organizations. I prefer to find something small and local because if I'm only giving a small amount, it does more good small and local.
I'm not trying to be a Scrooge in any of this. My wife and I, we do give money on a regular basis, and we enjoy it. We get to see the fruits of the labors. Like you said, the local stuff is really where you get to see the tangible facts from that.
Bath to Mermaid is written and produced by Melissa A. Bartell and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Music for this episode was provided by Mebio's Music Alley, a great resource for PodSafe music. Visit them at music.mebio.com. The opening song is Soap in a Bathtub by Stony. The closing song is You Can Use My Bathtub by Little Tom. The Bathtub Mermaid is produced and recorded using BossJock and Audacity. You can contact me by leaving a comment at the website, www.bathtubmermaid.com, by finding me on Twitter, at Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or by sending an email to Meliss, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at starfleet.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold. Deep inside. And still it shows. But you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes, you can.